Whoever you are, wherever you have come from, whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Elaine Yaley Bowen, and I am serving as the worship associate this morning, and I am joined by our lay leader from the Worcester congregation, Mr. Kevin Lowry. We are also joined today by Hal Walker, who is our director of music, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, I believe the tone chimers, and a variety of other wonderful musicians this morning.
Let us use compassion, curiosity, reverence, and respect while seeking our truths. In this way, we will support a just and joyful community, and then the moment shall endure.
Come into this place of peace and let its silence heal your spirit. Come into this place of memory and let its history warm your soul. Come into this place of prophecy and power. Let its vision change your heart. Come, let us worship together. Today is Father's Day, and in celebration for all those men in our lives, whether they be biological dads, adopted or stepdads, uncles, grandfathers, or other men in our lives who have filled the role of dad, papa, father, daddy. We give our grateful thanks. Please join me now in the spirit of prayer. Let us make this earth a heaven right here, right now. Who knows what existences death will bring? Let us create a heaven here on earth where love and truth and justice reign. Let us welcome all at our pearly gates, our freedom table, amid song and great rejoicing, black, white, yellow, red, and all our lovely colors, straight, gay, transgender, bisexual, and all the ways of leaving and loving each other's bodies, blind, deaf, mute, healthy, sick, variously abled, young, old, fat, thin, gentle, cranky, joyous, sorrowing. Let no one feel excluded. Let no one feel alone. May the rich let loose their wealth to rain upon the poor. May the poor share their riches with those who are used to money. May we come to venerate Mother Earth and tend her with wisdom and compassion. May we make our earth an Eden, a paradise. May no one wish to leave her. May hate and warfare cease to clash in causes too old and tried to name. Religion, nationalism, the false god of gold, deep-rooted ethnic hatreds. May we all dwell together in peace and joy and understanding. Let us make heaven here on earth before it is too late. Let us make this earth a heaven for each other's sake. Amen.
The first reading this morning comes from Linda Marcante's book, Belief Without Borders, which is an exploration of the spiritual but not religious. Theology is lived, not just believed. We must not only speak about lived religion, for example, the practices, rituals, and related behaviors associated with faith, but also about lived theology. People do not want a disconnect between belief, experience, and behavior. Many feel it is wrong to join a group unless they can subscribe to all of its principles. They want very much to be authentic and honest and to have the integrity to live out their beliefs. Many want their religious beliefs and practices to change them in some way to affect their experience. No matter how lightly or how deeply held, religious and spiritual beliefs are part of one's total being. Deeply integrated into our behavior, attitudes, and life's journeys. In an age when we are increasingly aware that mind and body are intricately related, this should be no surprise. While less and less people are given the resources for the work of lived theology, they still have to deal with the perennial big questions about the meaning, value, and trajectory of human life, and whether there is anything beyond our mundane reality. The religiously unaffiliated have not been very much heard, especially in the area of their beliefs. Conversations with them show that they have much to say and do not want to be stereotyped or ignored. They are grateful when someone carefully listens. Paying this kind of attention is especially necessary if we want to understand why organized religions are losing numbers. The second reading this morning comes from Becoming, a Spiritual Guide to Adulthood from the UUA. It also comes with a little disclaimer. I chose this reading a couple weeks ago, and then Wednesday happened. And so I toyed and struggled with if I was going to share it with you today, because our UU churches have seen violence in them. And then I thought that the message that this reading gives hopefully will provide us some peace and some answers of finding hope out of tragedy. The history and legacy of Unitarian Universalism are shaped as much by Emerson, Fawes, and Channing as it is by the ancestors in our congregations. We come to it through different avenues: the internet, an invitation, reading the Transcendentalists, or as babies and little kids. I came as a fourth grader to my congregation, the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church of Knoxville, Tennessee, also known as TVUUC. This community helped bring me into social justice struggles in the world and inside the UUA. They brought me as a child to the place where I now work, the Highlander Center. My church opened so many doors because they held young people in high esteem and encouraged our leadership in the church and community. I will never forget our district's Journey Towards Wholeness transformation team meeting and realizing that I was the youngest person there by nearly 15 years. My religious education teachers, friends, and the spiritual aunts and uncles were and still are community leaders in everything from nuclear disarmament to anti-racism, anti-oppression issues. They protested U.S. military involvement in Central America and stood behind a parent of a classmate as she transitioned from male to female in the early 90s. They have been my inspiration as I work to support others who are called by their faith to change hearts, minds, and communities. My church changed forever on July 27, 2008, when an armed man came into the sanctuary and killed two UU leaders, one member of the TVUUC and another member of the Westside Church. This rocked our church to its core. When I first heard about it, I didn't know who had been killed, my mom, my friends, and their parents, or others who had nurtured me in my entire life. I realized something that day that has stayed with me my entire life ever since. No matter what issues I have with other Unitarian Universalists regarding our visions of God or the Spirit, justice, race, age, at the root of everything is community, love, and faith. That day, something larger than our individual beliefs rose up in my mind. I thought of the principles, values, and family that are the connective tissues of our faith community and held us weeks after the shooting, 6 months later on our 60th anniversary, and still today. I am part of the connective tissue that holds the legacy and future of our faith. We are the children of freedom fighters, visionaries, and radical liberal theologians. We are the phoenix rising out of the ashes of McCarthy era, civil rights, women, and queer liberation movements. We are the survivors and beneficiaries of youth-led and youth-focused belief and programming that encouraged us to be change makers, boundary pushers, and institutionalists all at the same time. We are and we will be the ministers, religious educators, congregational presidents, organization leaders, and social change leaders of our faith that it has led us to be. We wear our faith as tattoos on our bodies and in our hearts, as testaments to the blood, tears, dreams, and inspirations of our community, ancestors, and elders. So good morning. As most of you have already figured out, I'm Kevin Lowry, and I want to start this morning by saying Happy Father's Day, because one of the greatest things about my life is my daughter, who unfortunately broke her arm on Friday, so she's not feeling real well as a four-year-old who can't have a cast because it's so high, so she and her mom stayed home today. I serve as the youth and college community coordinator at the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Wayne County. I also serve as the campus community mentor at the College of Worcester. I'm a CLL candidate, and just because I wasn't busy enough doing all that, I'm a FOS fellow with the FOS Collaborative at Meadville Lombard Theological School, looking at how we can create sustainable communities for our emerging adults in Unitarian Universalism. So, with all that, I'm here today to talk about how we can build a new way as Unitarian Universalists. I'd like to take the opportunity to share some thoughts with you about how we can embrace shifting landscape of religion by drawing on our inclusive religious liberal tradition. We can rethink what the church is and build a new way that creates intentional communities that are spiritually diverse, radically inclusive, and justice-centered. We are standing on the threshold of a great change in the landscape of religion, spirituality, and faith in our modern society. Over the past 50 years, we have seen the decline of mainline Christianity and an extraordinary rise in the religiously unaffiliated. Harvey Cox, who is the Hollis Professor of Divinity at Harvard, talks in his book, The Future of Faith, that we are making a transition from the age of belief to the age of spirit. And Linda Mercante, in her book, Belief Without Borders, talks about a shift from the orthodoxy, or right belief, to orthopraxis, which is right action. Others in mainstream media are calling this the rise of the spiritually but not religious, or as they call them, the nuns, which I feel is a bit of a pejorative term that describes people who might have checked nun on a survey when asked what particular faith group they identified with. This group of religiously unaffiliated is further broken down into two subgroups. The first are the seculars. the atheists, agnostics, humanists, unchurched, or non-theists. The second group are what I like to call the spiritually independent. Both are unique groups seeking authentic, just, and ethical lives of right action, as well as a strong and meaningful community that they can feel a part of. For the first time in modern history, we see the religiously unaffiliated growing at a faster rate than any other religious affiliation. And according to the Pew Center for Religion and Public Life, individuals who are not affiliated with any particular religion make up 22% of the adult population. They thus comprise the second largest worldview in the United States, outpacing mainline Christianity and only seeing a 3% difference from the top worldview of evangelical Christianity. For just our own reference, Unitarian Universalists showed a slight gain of 0.3% from 2007 to 2014, which bumped us up to 1.5%. We have also seen attendance in mainline churches, as well as our churches, decline over the past decade. As we witness the shift from mainstream religion to a reimagined sense of community and gathering, we are witnessing the shift from right belief to right action. So this shift leads me to wonder, what is the future of Unitarian Universalism? And how can we offer an inclusive, liberal religious tradition that is spiritually diverse, radically inclusive, and justice-centered? And it's my argument that our tradition is uniquely suited to meet people where they are on life's journey. So I want to take a few minutes to look deeper at our tradition, who we are, who we were, and who we want to become. I hope to offer you a vision of Unitarian Universalism that will continue to evolve and give people a safe place to grow, connect, and serve. I want to explore some opportunities ahead of us and then put those thoughts into tangible things that we can do in our congregations and in our larger movement to affect change in our world and build a new way. As you are aware, we are a tradition of radical activists, thinkers, writers, and peacemakers. We have historically been on the cutting edge of justice movements, suffrage, civil rights, LGBTQ, and immigration. We are the tradition of scientific innovators and literary masters. We are the tradition of the presidents, at least five, but I would argue that Lincoln had universalist leanings. And since the conservative right is questioning Obama's Christianity, I'm also happy to claim him. Especially because his mother and grandparents went to a UU church. We have been and still continue to be a tradition of action, love, and acceptance. We are people who are focused on our right action over those right beliefs. We are willing to love the hell out of the world, even in the face of hate and injustice. Science, reason, and discovery. We are people who are open to change, discovery, and growth. So what does Unitarian Universalism look like in the future? In building a vision for who we may become, we need a laser focus on that vision. For Unitarian Universalism, we must live our theology, and being part of an inclusive liberal tradition is something to be proud of and unapologetic about. So, what is that shared vision? We are a welcoming religious community. The idea of radical inclusivity is the idea of welcoming everyone into community and acknowledging that each of us brings unique gifts to share with each other. It is the idea that both through the act of receiving and giving, community is formed. It is the understanding that each of us has something to offer, and through this, our community is whole. The global community is a rich treasure trove of unique and diverse experiences, worldviews, and perspectives. As we come together in fellowship, we must welcome the stranger in our midst. We must welcome the young and the old. We must open our doors to those who have been left out in the cold, the poor, and those who society has forgotten. We come together to honor the inherent worth and dignity of every person and the gifts that they bring to the community. It is our work to create safe places where people can have hard conversations and engage in meaningful dialogue that challenges our assumptions, acknowledges our differences, and exposes our commonalities. We must rejoice in the gifts that each of us bring as individuals working towards a peaceful and just global community. We are unapologetically liberal. Eleanor Roosevelt described a liberal as a person who kept an open mind, was willing to meet new questions with new solutions, and felt that you could move forward. You didn't have to look backwards and be afraid. And if that's our working definition of being a liberal, then we should be unapologetic about it. In our theology, in our lives, in our actions, we must embrace the forward momentum of our journey of self-discovery, that we are asking important questions and coming up with new solutions for justice, equity, and compassion in our interconnected world. We are proud of our religious and spiritual diversity. We understand that no one religion holds all the answers, but we are on a common search for truth, a core set of values, and a community of individuals. Atheist blogger Vlad Chetuk describes religion in this way. Religion evolved over literally thousands of years to solve a host of problems, satisfy a broad array of needs, and contribute intimately to living a better and more meaningful life. As we see the rejection of the religious affiliation, it is time that we reclaim and reaffirm our own religious identity. Sophia Lyon Foss goes further by saying, life becomes religious whenever we make it so. When some new light is seen, when some deeper appreciation is felt, when some larger outlook is gained, when some nobler purpose is formed, and when some task is well done. We have a rich history and tradition. Self-admittedly, I would be the first one to challenge tradition just because it is tradition. But recently I was sitting in on a class as they talked about the moral imperative of tradition. It just kind of made me shudder. But looking deeper into it, and deeper into tradition, I discovered that tradition engages the past, present, and the future. Our history is passive and static. All those dead white guys. But our tradition is active, dynamic, and alive. Our tradition gives context to our work and provides a map as we walk our journey. Our tradition calls us to action, calls us to service, and calls us to personal growth. If we reclaim ours as an inclusive, liberal religious tradition, I believe it presents us with opportunities that only Unitarian Universalists are uniquely suited to cultivate and serve. As a tradition that is spiritually diverse, radically inclusive, and justice-centered, we are in position to explore, welcome, and change the world. We are called by our tradition to be a place that welcomes the stranger in our midst, the wandering, the broken, and the marginalized. Our theology welcomes questions, opens minds, and presents unique perspectives. Our polity holds each of us accountable for our shared ownership and ministry of this movement. It is our responsibility to recognize and embrace these opportunities ahead of us. So what are the opportunities? The first opportunity are those spiritually independent. These are the seekers and explorers of faith and spirituality, not bound by one tradition, dogma, or creed. They are rejecting organized religion. And we know as Unitarian Universalists, we have been accused of many things, but being organized is not one of them. Welcoming these seekers into community expands our religious perspective and enriches and strengthens our conversations and spiritual or personal growth. The Reverend Forrest Church described his Universalist theology as the cathedral of the world. While standing in the middle of a grand church where all the world's religions were represented by many windows embedded in the grand architecture, the light outside those windows represents one light of truth and justice peering through each window, each having a unique perspective. But no religion or window has the entire view, the whole picture, or the single truth. Whether they identify as Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, pagan, nothing in particular, or a hybrid, it is our call to meet them where they are. Our ministry is to provide a safe place for the exploration of religion, faith, and spirituality. Our service is to unconditionally love and accept the community. The second group is the secular, those who have a non-theist worldview. They are the humanists, atheists, and unchurched. This is a population that even in liberal religious tradition like ours can feel marginalized at times. As Dr. John Hooper, the president of the Unitarian Universalism Humanist Association, explains, there has been and will continue to be an important place for the secular voice in Unitarian Universalism. And we have the resources, infrastructure, and organization, I guess I have to retract my earlier comment, to support and foster this worldview. Those who identify as secular are not void of character, values, or ethics. Their moral foundation is rooted in the good, not the God. They affirm the principles of reason, community, and compassion. They are justice-seeking people and strive for a community of love and acceptance. Our call is to meet them where they are. Our ministry is to provide a secular safe zone for the exploration of a non-theist worldview. And our service is to unconditionally love and accept them into community. The last group, the Unitarian Universalists, us. We are a community that is spiritually diverse, radically inclusive, and justice-centered. We are smaller than the majority of the religious identifications and can be marginalized in the communities that we live in for our liberal stance and our propensity to ask questions and demand justice. As the religious landscape changes, we have unique opportunity to nurture and foster growth in the larger community by supporting each other. Providing space for our children and youth to explore, question, and discover who they are and what they believe. We have to build bridges between our congregations and fellowships to share resources and perspectives and to provide mutual support and care. We have to build bridges that support our youth as they go into the world as young adults, with intentional communities on college campuses, young adult groups in our congregations, and multi-generational leadership in our governance structures. Our call is to meet ourselves where we are. Our ministry is to provide a safe place for the exploration of ourselves, and our service is to unconditionally love and accept each other into community. So, if we want to build a vibrant, dynamic, and relevant tradition, we must start thinking about how we build a new way that welcomes new people into our community. We have to think beyond these walls and meet people where they are, redefine how we do ministry, and affirm our commitment to be a welcoming community. If these are the opportunities in front of us, what are the tangible steps we can do to move forward? The first step is thinking beyond the walls of this church. What are the emerging ministries that welcome all of us to gather and provide all of us with a meaningful community and experience? This means taking our mission of service out into the streets, onto college campuses, into coffee shops. It means that we share resources with other UU communities, community organizations, and interfaith partners that meet people where they are, literally. There are many ways that our congregations can expand both the literal and metaphorical walls of our community to extend a message that we accept you for who you are in your journey and welcome you to be part of this community in a way that makes you comfortable and safe. We need to challenge ourselves to think beyond Sundays and the large community. How do we build satellite communities in people's homes, coffee shops, or other non-traditional spaces that meet various times during the week? How do we welcome other UU congregations that may need our support? We should think about how we challenge our creative selves in public performances, displays of art, music, dance, and storytelling. We need to look at our prophetic witness and social justice concerns. How do we welcome people to join us as we strive to build a beloved community right here, right now? We need to think innovatively on how we build vibrant and sustainable emerging and young adult communities to support our youth as they continue their journey to adulthood and travel outside of our community. And how do we welcome those young people as they come into our care? Our inclusive, liberal, religious tradition needs to measure membership not by the butts in the seats, but also by the people who are committed to this community through their action, connected to us online, and support our mission through the gifts they bring. Ministry, as we rethink what Unitarian Universalism ministry looks like in our communities, I offer that we need to look inward to the talents, interests, and gifts that we all bring to our welcome table. Shared ministry is the idea that each of us has a gift that we bring. And through our sharing, we enrich the journey and build strong and dynamic community. Shared ministry is the idea that no one person can bear the burden of holding a community together. Each of us providing mutual support and care for the entire community. Each of us serving as teachers and guides in this endeavor. The simple yet powerful concept of shared ministry is best explained in Rabbi Nathan Siegel's verse, "From you I receive. From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and from this we live." We are truly committed to being a welcoming community. We need to regularly evaluate if we are living up to those ideals. We need to ask ourselves who in our own community is marginalized, who does not have the same opportunity as others to walk freely on their life's journey. Part of being a welcoming community is intentionally building and supporting communities and safe places to allow people safety and security to be themselves. Being a welcoming community means that we are truly intergenerational in programming, worship, and governance structures. We allow people to walk through our doors unconditionally, without reservation. Being welcoming also means that we are informed about various marginalized groups that this community serves, whether within these walls or the larger community. The last one, and probably the hardest one for us. We have to be evangelical Unitarian Universalists. I believe that we must embrace a style of evangelizing that spreads our message of spiritual diversity, radical inclusivity, and a quest for justice. And I want you to remember that there is a difference between evangelizing and proselytizing. Proselytizing is trying to get someone from another faith to change theirs to yours. Evangelizing is just spreading the word about our faith so others are informed and can know. Taking the opportunity to throw our ideas, our principles, and maybe a little bit of love out there to see what takes root and starts spreading the essential elements of our inclusive liberal faith so that ideas can spread where there hasn't been someone there to welcome them into community. David Miller, a UU minister in Solina Beach, California, and you know how crazy those California UUs can be, making a case for evangelizing, says, "If we truly believe in the power of this faith to change lives, if we truly try to practice the principles listed on our hymnals and websites, if we truly feel that our historical and theological lineage of love infused with reasons, deeds over creeds, and a desire for a just and kinder and more compassionate world, why is it? Why isn't there anyone wanting to grow and sing Unitarian Universalism from the highest mountains and the tallest peaks? Unitarian Universalism is uniquely suited to grow, connect, and serve. It requires us to be intentional, inclusive, and dynamic. We are building a new way with a foundation of reason, compassion, and community. We are an inclusive, liberal religious tradition that is rooted in unconditional love, acceptance, and justice." Thank you.
As is our social justice tradition, once per month we take a special collection for either a local, a statewide, national, or international organization. This month's special collection will benefit the Companion Community Development Alternatives, COCODA, an organization that works to develop education for youth with limited economic resources from rural El Salvadoran communities. They are also working to bring clean, potable water to small villages there that struggle each day for this basic resource. Our church has been affiliated with COCODA since 1980, and our contributions today will contribute to their efforts to help the marginalized in El Salvador. The offering will now be greatly received.
Thank you.
We have come together to share our deepest concerns, speaking, singing words of inspiration and hope. We have committed ourselves to do what we can do to ease the burden of those who suffer. To stand for decency and compassion, we have pledged to work for a more wholesome environment for us all and the generations that will follow. But these are just words. The hymns we sing are just songs. All of our reflections are just idle thoughts. When we convert them into loving and responsible action throughout the week, then and only then will this morning become what we want it to be, a time of worship. Blessed be.